We're drilling some deep holes. We're taking some big step outs to show that it's open in all directions. So it can grow much larger than the current total mineral resource, which is over 8 million ounces, as you know. And I think, you could look at the sensitivity chart, go to a 0.25 cutoff, and you can see the scale is already there to get over that 10 million ounce, which gets you in that giant category of deposits. So, I don't think we need to drill that all out. What we need to do is continue focusing on the high grade and then also show the district potential, because that'll show that we've already got this large Ormaque that can grow, but the district itself will sustain this for even longer than what's at Ormaque.
Welcome back, everybody. Steve Yang here, Natural Resource Stocks. I am joined by Tara Christie, President, CEO, Director of Banyan Gold. How are you, Tara?
Excellent. It's another great day, and I'm heading up to site this week. So I love getting up to see our project.
Well, Tara, it's been about a week, since we last spoke, and now you've got some news out for your Nitro project. And where does Nitro fit in the overall Banyan story? And what do you think you have there?
So, Ormaque itself is a 303 square kilometer land package, but Ormaque's another 200, or Nitra is another 227 kilometers. And we think these target zones, so we have 11 targets on this broader land package, of which now we've hit two, where we have mineralization, Roaring Fork, and now Seattle Creek with some higher grades. And the idea is that we're showing that we've got district potential on our land package, where with these other targets, which could have satellite deposits, which are higher grade and are meaningfully additive to Ormaque. So, if you envision Ormaque, it's already a very big deposit. You'll build a mill. There's probably some high grade, and we're finding high grade within it for starter pits there. So, but if you can find another starter pit that potentially has this 500,000 ounces of a gram plus, and we've got some 5 gram material here and some more high grade silver, finding that could be meaningful and show that, Banyan alone has a district, never mind the other district players around us.
Tara, last time you and I spoke, we talked about Ormaque here, and last time before that, in Roaring Fork, you guys had that discovery back in July, and you mentioned hitting the target. Now you got visible gold again at Seattle Creek that you've mentioned, and then now you've also got assays at Seattle Creek now. Did the visible gold, actually translate into the grades that you were seeing and hoping for? And, it seems like maybe it's kind of a tip of the iceberg feel where you're only, hit the first, top 95 meters of a 600 meter hole assay. What are you most interested in seeing right now? And what are you going to be doing next?
So visible gold doesn't always translate into grade, believe it or not. Sometimes it does. And we were really pleased with what we saw here. What's next? Well, we know we have to follow up on both Roaring Fork and Seattle Creek and, drilling these holes and in part these holes deep, because we really want to understand the geological structural setting. What's the genesis of this new mineralization over here? Because it's probably different, a little bit different than Ormaque, probably the same general age, the same intrusive related system. But we need to now put together the geological story to help us target how to put together a resource out at Roaring Fork and Seattle Creek. And so, these holes are super exciting in that you don't normally hit any gold in a first drill hole in a greenfield target. Like, that's rare. Like, look at how many people drill and drill thousands of meters before they actually make a discovery to hit gold and high grade gold. 12 meters of 0.9 and 27 grams silver in an exploration hole is very unusual. So now we've got some real information to put together the geological story and help us target in our next drill holes for potentially later this season or next year. And the nice thing about Seattle Creek is This is a road accessible project as well. So, we can follow up with more drilling. I'm really excited about it. The fact that our geological model on our first two targets has helped us actually hit gold mineralization, it really bodes well for what else we have on our property.
So, how much room is there for optimism? So, you did Roaring Fork, you did Seattle Creek, and you also got Ormec. If you can talk a little bit about the distance, between what are these, how far are these are from each other, and why is that significant?
Okay, so Roaring Fork and Seattle Creek are 25 kilometers west. So that's a pretty big step out from Ormac, and the ground between that is owned by Banyan. It's contiguous with Ormac. And Roaring Fork and Seattle Creek are 5 kilometers from each other. So Seattle Creek's 5 kilometers north. So that alone, Seattle Creek and Roaring Fork could be part of the same system. We don't know that yet, but 5 kilometers is quite a long distance between the two of them to see high-grade mineralization that distance apart. So, and Nitra itself has another, 40 kilometers to the other end of it. And then it ends near the McQuestion River. And on the other side of that is where Sitka is. So they're off to the west of us. So, and we know they have high-grade mineralization as well. Is it all part of the same system between Ormac and Raven and Victoria Gold's Eagle that's to the north of us? Clearly, this was a very long-lived system or systems that created all this gold around us. So I think what's happening is it's beginning to become a district story, kind of like what you had in the early days of Nevada or Red Lake. You find one deposit and then you step out, there's more gold and mineralization. And the best place to find a mine, they say, is in the head frame of another mine. So I think it is early days, and really it is the tip of the iceberg, I think, because we've never had enough money to go out and explore on Nitra, even though we had targets which we really wanted to drill. So stay tuned. There's nine more that we're planning to drill.
Two for two batting average so far. First of all, you talked about visible gold in both the sites, Seattle Creek and Roaring Fork. You said that grade doesn't always translate from visible gold. Were you surprised at the results? Is this kind of what you expected? And when you look at the next nine, what are you expecting?
Well, drill holes, it's hard to know. The next nine are really exciting. They're even if we don't have as stellar results as these first two, they're gonna put together the geological story for us. I think we've got enough information now that we know there is a district story going on. We know there's lots of historic alluvial mining or placer mining, which is an indication that that gold's coming from somewhere. But every drill hole, given how much geological information we have, all the drill holes at Ormac, now these ones at Nitra, the geophysics, the structural work, it's all giving us this bigger picture view of what's going on. So yes, we see visible gold at Powerline deposit, and now we've had some at Airstrip deposit too. So it helps to put the story together, but it's not the only part of the story. I think it's starting to get exciting. I think when you see these gold prices too, it's finally been getting a little validation for the hard work that we've done.
Tara, with Ormac heading towards PEA, with Nitra showing, promise with two for two so far and with high grade, how do you prioritize the two? Where do you spend your time, money? Do you pivot, given the success? And if you continue to have success over at Nitra, do you change in the timeline of how aggressively you work on Nitra?
Yeah, when you have a success like that with some higher grade, we are definitely pivoting. We pivot every day. Our drill plan is dynamic. You start the season with a drill plan, but we're logging every hole daily, in what we call our quick logs, and making decisions whether to push the hole deeper, or just go to target depth, whether we're changing the drill plan. We're talking about that regularly. And now that we've made some discoveries at Nitra, today we're actually talking about, are we going to follow up on this? Are we going to adapt the plan that we've put together? We did pivot already to add a third exploration drill for our exploration targets on Nitra and Ormac, because we originally were just going to have two. That alone has allowed us to get a little bit more done this season than other years. But Ormac is the prize. So we're not getting too distracted by it. 7,500 meters going into Ormac and 60,000 meters or into Nitra and Ormac regional targets and 60,000 into making Ormac better. And that we're even thinking about because that discovery of the high grade that we talked about last week, following up on that wasn't part of the original plan. Originally we were just drilling off the edges there where we knew that unmineralized area was being treated as waste. So, additional dilution and additional strip ratio. So we needed to do that for future studies. And remember, everything we're drilling in 2026 is actually for the next study that we do because the cutoff for that PEA was 2025. So, and you're going to be talking to me lots, Steve, so because I'm going to have lots of drill results coming at me fast and furious
Exciting.
now. And we're starting to get some now, and the labs have been backed up because there's so many people drilling. But we are still focused on that prize. Our PEA is going to give us a benchmark valuation. We're going to have all the drill results from this year to show that it's even going to get better in future studies. And one of the reasons why we financed this year to upsize this program to 70,000 meters in total was to save time. The question, yes, we want to rapidly advance and de-risk Ormac, show that it can go into production faster than many of our peers. And the way we did that was to upsize our drill program this year. And we're looking for ways every day to shorten that timeline.
Tara, I'm a huge fan of Rick Rule, and you and I got a chance to meet each other at the Rule Symposium this past year. And I did an interview with Rick, and I mean, he mentioned you several times before, and so I asked him about some companies that were there, and he mentioned one of the reasons why I bought Banyan Gold was the massive scale, the land package that you have. That doesn't come every day. The other thing that he really pointed out was your connections there in that territory, how you know people, you really know people. If there was a not a criticism, but a not every company is going to check every boxes, but what people aren't excited about or what people don't bring up as much is not the land package, it's the grade. And he said a grade can be overcome. But not just with technology and stuff, but I hear you talking. We talked a lot about grade. And so, is there something part of the Banyan story that people are misunderstanding or don't quite realize yet? And if you can also talk about the boxes that you guys do check, but the massive land package and how that compares with your peers. And if you can talk also a little bit about just kind of your connections over in the Yukon territory.
Well,
I
thanks,
got three
Steve.
questions at once. If you want to
Three
take them
questions in one,
all.
and they're great questions. The Yukon is was my home for a lot of years. I grew up with my dad and my mom out placer mining, and my brother in Dawson City. And so, started when I was about 8 and spent my early career there. I grew up in the Yukon. It's kind of like the family farm of the North, placer mining. So I grew up learning about heavy equipment, learning how to permit, learning how to process gold. That was unique. And then in my early 20s, I became the president of the Placer Miners Association. So I learned about politics, legislation, working with First Nations. And that was right when the First Nations settlement agreements were being finalized. I joined the Environmental Assessment Board that came out of the land claims process. So I learned about environmental assessment from the perspective I joined on the board. You have to actually think about it from the other side, not just the industry side. And that gave me a really broad range of experience. I worked to get an agreement with various First Nations in the Yukon. And then I spent a bunch of time, working. I even worked for Newmont for a few years. So I got to think like a corporate and understand how things are different. What are the things that they're looking for in a project? So meanwhile, I developed really strong relationships within communities, and long-lasting relationships within government, within the general population in the Yukon. And that's really helped me. It's helped Banyan. We've been able to source goods and equipment and contractors because you know people. We've been able to work with the community. We've got two community meetings coming up this week, one in Mayo, one in Whitehorse, making sure that we're communicating with the people. And many of them I've known for a long time. So those relationships are important, and they're a key part of our success, and they'll be really important as we continue. Your other question was Rick Rule. I love that interview with Rick Rule, and what I love is he's always really straight. Here's the things that are my biggest worry, and his comment about grade. Well, our new geological model has been overlooked. The fact that we understand how to project and predict these high-grade zones like that, the one that we talked about last week in the gap. Well, we're seeing that potentially that lithology comes up dip to surface in between the gap. Well, is that another starter pit? And you've seen consistently from the results that we put out last year, the high grade is predictable. And if it can all be, if we can show that it actually comes together in starter pit zones, and we can continue to develop that, the low grade doesn't matter if you've got a significant high grade within it, and eventually all of that low grade gets processed once the capital cost has been paid off. So I think grade is we've been overlooked for, and it's something that we can change. And I think the smart people, like the John Robbins, who's bought in the market, who's been tremendously successful, they are seeing that model and understanding what it means for grade and what it means for the deposit. So we're debunking that, and stay tuned because you're going to see more of that.
Tara, and just wanted you to talk a little bit about what significance do you see in the size here? I mean, how big are we talking in your land package? Do you see other companies with projects this big, and why is that? Why does that matter?
There aren't very many open pit mineable projects in North America that have this scale. There's only a few that have the type of resource. But global resource is a bit deceiving. What really matters is how many mineable ounces are going to be within it and what the grade of those are. And so that's why we focused on that. We're drilling some deep holes. We're taking some big step outs to show that it's open in all directions. So it can grow much larger than the current total mineral resource, which is over 8 million ounces, as you know. And I think, you could look at the sensitivity chart, go to a 0.25 cutoff, and you can see the scale is already there to get over that 10 million ounce, which gets you in that giant category of deposits. So I don't think we need to drill that all out. What we need to do is continue focusing on the high grade, and then also show the district potential, because that'll show that we've already got this large Ormaque that can grow, but the district itself will sustain this for even longer than what's at Ormaque.
Tara, you said that you expect us to talk often. And so it sounds like you got a lot of good stuff you're anticipating. If you can give us a sneak preview of what's inside your brain and tell us kind of the plans ahead of what can we expect? What are you looking forward to that we should be looking forward to? And if people have questions, how can they reach out and follow your story?
I am super excited about the drill results that are going to be coming fast and furious, and we'll try to put them together in batches so that we can tell the story and show the progression of the deposit, our understanding of the high-grade zones within this deposit. Our PEA, we've been talking about it for a long time. Originally, as part of our earn-in agreement, we were going to do it in December of 2025, but at that time, we drilled 43,000 meters. And we knew we were going to make it better, so we were able to push it off. We're going to be in that same situation again. We're going to be putting out a PEA knowing that we've got results that are going to make it even better. But finally, I'll be able to quote an NPV, an IRR, and show people, what are the first few years, what's a potential capital cost of this project. That will be really exciting. And I think we see developers or pre-developers that have a PEA, they're PNAV, price to NAV, goes up significantly. So it'll put us in that additional category. I think there's some speculation whether or not we might make it in the GDXJ here, the index. I think we've really seen validation by having some very sophisticated investors take positions in Banyan publicly, like Rick Rule's been a huge supporter. That is all starting to really help us gain some momentum. So I think it's going to be an exciting year. People can reach out to me directly, tchristie@banyangold.com, or phone the phone line, or talk to Jasmine. Check out our website, Banyan Gold. Make sure you sign up for our e-blast. You get our news. We're going to have lots of it and keep people busy. And great thank you to all those shareholders that stuck with us and have put their faith in Banyan. Our team's delivering for you every day.
For our listeners, I want to disclose, while I'm not a Rick Rule, I am an investor of Banyan Gold, and I want to be upfront about that. And I'm not giving investment advice, so please do your own due diligence. Banyan Gold is a sponsor. Tara, glad to work together and help share your story. A lot of exciting stuff coming out, and the people I think should look forward to your reports and updates, because there's a lot of visuals that in the reports that haven't been able to be discussed here. So check those out. Everybody, thank you so much. Tara, good to see you again.
Have a great morning, Steve.